Romans chapter 7, 14 to 25. Okay, ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we're going to be looking, Father, something that is real in the nature of man. After we become Christian, that we do have the law of God in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit. But then, Lord, we also have the indwelling sin nature. I pray, Father, that you give us wisdom through your Holy Spirit as we search your word of what is happening, what we need to do in order to have victory in our life. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. Pray for one person who do not know Christ. I ask you, Lord, to open their hearts to salvation in Christ. But Lord, for the Christian who is struggling, I'm asking you, Father, to open our eyes to what are the spiritual realities we face daily and how we can have victory, Lord. We thank you. We ask that you make us a growing church, a church that wants to live by your Holy Spirit and walk in it. That our relationship with you might be sweet, but with full knowledge, Lord, that we have an indwelling sin nature that will want to stop us, Lord, from this relationship. But help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith as a soldier of Jesus Christ, to do the will of God for your honor and glory. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you just look out at Romans chapter 7, and verse number 6, the Bible says that now we are delivered from the law. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the influence of the law of God. In other words, the law of sin, it doesn't control us anymore. But then Paul embarks on a very different course right now. He, in Romans chapter 6 and 7 to verse 6, he actually tells us that as a believer in Christ, we are free from the law of sin. In other words, we don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to sin anymore. But then he goes on to illustrate a very clear reality in every Christian that as much as the Holy Spirit is in us, there is an indwelling sin still in us and the struggle begins, okay? So today we want to go through, actually for verse 7 all the way to 25, but I'll try to be as succinct as possible, which means brief as possible, but hopefully enough to help us to see the struggle that we all have. Every believer in Jesus Christ, I've heard this all the time, Pastor, I'm struggling. Can I tell you a secret? I'm struggling too. How often do you struggle? Pastor, I struggle daily. Can I tell you another secret? I struggle daily too. Okay? We struggle. Perhaps different people struggle with different things. But we all struggle. If you're a genuine believer in Christ and don't have a struggle with sin, you can't be saved. Because a genuine believer will struggle with sin. He will have to struggle with sin. He struggled with sin, he struggled with self, he struggled with the flesh, he struggled with the influence of the world that seeks to take away the spiritual joy of your heart. Okay? So as a believer in Christ, if you're a genuine believer in Christ, you will find that Paul is just talking about us. All right, so we're going to look at firstly the law of God. I'll tell you five things based on the word of God. The law of God. Okay, number one, The law of God is spiritual. Look at verse number 12. For we know, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. We need to establish one thing that the Bible says. Okay, it's not in verse 14, sorry, it's actually in verse 12, okay? Then after, we go down to verse 14. The Bible says the law of God is holy, and commandment is holy, and just, and good. In verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Then refers to the law of God. The law that you know, for example, the law of God, of course, is the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, tell lies. But you know, God also says in the law, thou shalt forgive. Thou shalt give. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God. Thou shalt obey your parents. All these are in the law as well. The law of good is good. Okay. So firstly, the law of God is spiritual. Number two, the law of God is given to help us. I just read that. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. The word holy means to set apart, to be set apart from all other things that are unholy. The law is also just. In other words, when you hear the law of God, God's word in our hearts, the word just has the idea of the rightness of every situation. The law is just. Okay? Example, you go to a court. After hearing all the information, the judge is supposed to make the decision that is just. In this world, sometimes there's injustice. People say, "Not like, cannot be like that one. How can the person kill a person and then just go to jail for 1 month?" That kind of thing is unjust. Okay? But the law of God is just. It will always tell us the right thing. It's not only just. The Bible also says in verse number 12, it is good. The word good means the law of God is kind. It profits us if we will follow it. Okay? So the Bible says that the law of God is spiritual. And number two, the law of God is given to help us. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 19. Is it I'm not too sure what is the verses, sometimes I forget. Is it in the verses? Let's turn to Psalm 19. And you want to see the good things that Psalm 19 actually tell us about the Word of God, the law of God, okay? I was just with the Sunday school, and we're looking at why the Bible is true, okay? And the words that describe the Bible are many. Example, the Bible is called the law of God. The Bible is called the commandments of God. The law, the Bible is called the precepts of God. The Bible is called the statutes of God, okay? And the Bible is called the scriptures. So there are many, many words for the Bible. So you see in Psalm 19, verse 7 to 10, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's word is perfect. The word perfect is unlike the word that we always hear, oh, God wants us to be perfect. That verse, that word in the Greek means mature. But in the Hebrew word here, the law of God means perfect without error, zero error, completely whole. Okay? There is no error. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The word testimony has to do with what God sees and witnesses, and it is a sure testimony, it's a sure word. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. It gives us wisdom. It makes wise the simple. Okay? In verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What is a statue? Statue is something that is made, like kind of like a stone or wood, something that is fixed. So the God's word is fixed. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In other words, when we look at the word of God and know, God, that is the right thing that I need to do, it brings joy to our hearts. God, I'm doing the right thing. And then the Bible says the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Sometimes when we are given an instruction, a commandment, sometimes we say, oh, I don't feel like doing it. Because we don't understand that it is actually for our good. So the commandments of the Lord, the instructions of God given to us, it actually enlightens our eyes when we obey it. The goal of the commandments of God is to enlighten us so that, oh, okay, it should be this way. That's why obedience is such an important principle in the life of a spiritual Christian. Because when we obey the commandments of the law, God enlightens our eyes. He helps us to see something we probably have never seen before if we only obey Him. Okay? And then goes on to, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When you have the fear of God in your life, it's clean, it cleanses us. The fear of God, when it's put into our lives, pushes away sin. We don't want to participate in things which will defile us. The fear of the Lord is clean, and it makes us strong and endures. Okay? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What judgments mean? What God has thought through. Now, the judgments as I was studying it is so wonderful because what God does, the word judgment is a decision. In order to make a decision, there's a thinking process. Agree? So when God has gone through His divine thinking process and the Word of God is His final decision, when we follow that, we will have is righteous and is true. Because God is right, God is true, and therefore when we obey the Word of God, it helps us to be stable. Okay? So when you look at all this, you realize the Word of God, the law of God is always right. It's given to help us. It's actually given to help us. Okay? It is only through the law of God, if you read Romans chapter 7, as we move to the next one, point number 3, firstly, the law of God is spiritual, it's given to help us. And then, number three, the law of God reveals what is right and wrong. Verse 7, Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Because if it leads me to sin, that means the law is wrong, right? That was a Roman Christian's thinking. Paul says no. Is the law of God sinful and wrong? God forbid. Certainly not. No, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. A good illustration is this. For a young child, why do you think small children like to put their finger into the fan, into the switch, into the, you know, the switchboard? Why? Because they don't know that it will kill you if it's on. It will cut off your fingers. Okay? And what do we do? Don't do that. Ouch! Why you hit me? Don't touch that. That's a law. So for a young child that go, oh, mama say don't touch that. But you know what children tend to do when mama say don't touch that? Or they want to do it. Okay, later, actually, it talks about that again afterwards. So when a young child who don't understand all this touches a thing and mama said, don't touch, the law comes. It helps the child to know right from wrong. And what is the purpose? So the child don't kill himself or lost his finger. Right? Can you see the law is good? When God gives commandments, it is good. Alright? And that is the purpose of the law of God. And then point number 4 regarding the law. It reveals the rebellious and sinful nature in us. Oh, this is what I just talked about in verse number 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. That means sin, you see, the law of God says don't touch, right? But you know what? The law of sinful nature of man use the law of God as an opportunity to rot in me all manner of concupiscence. The word concupiscence means sinful desires and cravings. I want to do this. Just now, as I was talking about, if the mother said, don't touch, what would the child do? I see people say, 他更要做. You know what the law of God shows all of us? It shows us our rebellious nature. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest. I give a simple example. Someone hurts me. What should I do to that person? As a Christian, what should I do? I should forgive. That's what the Bible says, right? What do we do? What do we do usually? Sometimes, not all the time. Some Christians who praise and say, God, I want to do right. Say, Lord, help me to forgive, right? But some Christian says, I need to give him a punch in the face. What do you mean? Ask me to forgive. You know what the law of God does? For a Christian, it actually shows how rebellious and sinful we are before God. Because the Bible says in verse number 8, sin, using the opportunity of the law, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me. It stirs up our sinful desires. when the law of God comes, it actually creates more desires to do wrong. I'll give you an example. I know right now there's still Hawaii 5-0, right? I think there's some just worldly music and some of that. Last time when I was young, I would wait until my mother said, you go and sleep at night. And so I'll go and sleep. But when my mom slept, I will wake up in the middle of the night to on the TV to watch. Okay, I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm just giving you an illustration how my mom's instructions to me not to watch the TV caused me to come up with some plan to find a loophole, some way of still doing it. Okay? The Word of God is true, isn't it? How many of us don't like people to tell us what to do? You know why it does? You know, as I was studying this, I realized how God is telling us the reason why people do not want to hear the Word of God is because it actually reveals actually how rebellious we are. You know, this is something for us as a Christian we need to take note of. When we have the sense that I don't want people to tell me what to do, or sometimes, wow, you mean I have to come at this time? You know what that is? The Bible says the law is this. The law of God actually stirs the sinful and rebellious nature of man. It actually shows how rebellious we are. Okay? That is what the law of God does. I'm not suggesting you watch Hawaii 5-0, by the way. Alright? Because the music is bad. It's a lot of violence and corruption. I wasn't a Christian when I watched that. Full of violence, bad music, bad dressing. And so it's something, even as I use as an illustration, I need to actually tell you. But you know what? Some would say, no, pastors don't say, may I want to have a look at how it is. That's a rebellious nature. I just said, don't do it, don't do it, okay? When we are told not to take the biscuit, you know what? This happens to all children. Okay, children, look at me. Does this happen? When Papa say, don't take the biscuit, you wait until Papa walk out, then you go and take the biscuit. How many of you children will do that? Let's be honest, that stirs up the rebellious nature. That's exactly what God is talking about. That's actually, I'm not just looking at what, all of us does that, right? One time or another. You know why for adults, they always wait for the boss to go out first? That's the rebellious nature. Like it or not, that's what the Bible says, okay? We will wait until the person is not around. Then we do that. Why? Sin, and the more you speak against the person and tell the person not to, the more he will rebel, because that is the nature of sin. It just rebels. This is what the law of God does. It reveals the sinfulness of our nature. And if you're a believer today, you will understand what I'm talking about. And the last point about the law of God, the law of God therefore condemns us. For I was alive without the law once, when no one told me I could enjoy sin. I love sin, and I love the rock music, and I love the world. And youth camp comes, and I hear the preacher say, you need to be careful of this thing because it will corrupt you. So it's like, huh? It kills your joy. You mean now I cannot enjoy my rock music anymore? Or as a believer in Christ, you can't without offending God. You see, that's why the law of God is given to teach us. Remember I said the Bible says the law of God is actually good, is just, is kind. It helps us to be clean. It helps us to be stable in life. It helps us to be enlightened about what is right and wrong. But if we want to do wrong and we don't have a regenerate nature, the law of God actually stirs up and shows the rebellious nature in man. Okay? The Bible says, for I was alive without the law once. You know, last time I don't know the law, I enjoyed myself. I was alive, but when the commandment came in, sin revived. I realized, actually I cannot steal. And I died. The word die, I was telling you, how did the word mean die? It simply means, I'm condemned. I'm condemned. When I was in Australia, I was driving along this highway. There was no speed limit. I drove, because it was in the middle of the night, everything was dark, and you cannot, and if you drive in Perth, the expressway could be for hundreds of kilometers. It was just from the airport to my friend's place. It took 45 minutes. Along the way, it was pitch dark and there is no street lamps. So I can't see the road signs, okay? And so as I was driving in the dark with my high beam, then suddenly a police from behind came. I can see the lights because it's all red, blue, and green. Red, blue, and yellow, I think. And then he saw me and said, "Sir, did you know they just broken the law?" I said, "What? What law?" "Okay, you were going 130. You know, this highway is very high and there's no traffic and it's quite wide. So 130. You know the speed limit is 110? I said, "Uh-oh. I can't enjoy I can't enjoy being a speedster now." But you know, Australians are kind. I say, "Okay, so I can see your baby behind," which is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just, what, 6 months? Jeremiah was just 6 months. His first trip to Australia, he don't even understand what a kangaroo is, you know. He was very kind. I say, "Okay, I just fetched my friend." "All right, just be aware, you know, this highway is 110. Okay, thank God he had mercy on me. Otherwise..." But you know what? I was enjoying it myself. But later on, I was like, "Okay, 110, 110. I'd enjoyed my speeding. But after the law came in, I said, I need to be careful." That's what the Word of God does. If I continue to do that, actually, when the police officer stopped me, he could have given me a speeding ticket. And speeding in Australia is 130 Australian dollars. Okay? I died. I was condemned. He had mercy on me, but I was actually condemned. The law of God shows our rebellious nature and therefore condemns us. In verse number 10, "And the commandment which was appointed to life," because God's law helps us to live better. Think about that. God's law helps us to think better. Let me ask you, is it better to forgive someone or hate someone? Forgive, right? Forgiveness frees you. Forgiveness sets you free. You don't have to. There was one American, but he was a Jewish rabbi. He says, if you are angry with someone and hate someone and hold it in your heart, you are allowing the person to stay in your brain rent-free. And you just think about that person again. You just get angry. You say, why don't you just let him go? Forgive. And God says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's God's law. By the way, that's God's law. That's His judgment. Forgive. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay? So point number 5, the law of God condemns us. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Because why? My sinful nature. Example, I'm already lazy, and I more or less know it. But someone comes and tell me I am lazy, it gets to me. How many of you will give all kinds of reasons why, you know, that's my nature? You know why? We want to stay in our rebellious state. We want to stay in our rebellious state. You know, sometimes if he keeps telling me, I get angry. I also get angry. Why? Because my sin is exposed. The law of God condemns us. In Romans chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible says, "A sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me." Listen to this. The law of sin starts by giving us a desire. It gives us a desire. God says, "Thou shalt not steal." Okay? Let's say I see a handphone or a t-shirt that I like. God's law says, "Thou shalt not steal." But because I have a sinful nature, I want us to follow this because it's important so you can identify from the Word of God what actually happens in your heart. I have a sinful nature. My sinful nature is rebellious. God said, "Thou shalt not steal." That is God's law. But because my sinful nature will not listen, the Bible says it wrought in me all kinds of concupiscence, then it creates a desire for me to have the thing even more. Because I'm rebellious. That's a sinful nature. Okay? It creates a desire. Then it continues to deceive me. You know how it deceives me? Actually, no one will know I stole the t-shirt one. Why do you think people look around? Because in our mind, the sinful nature has already told us, just give excuses, you know. Just convince yourself it's okay. It deceived me. And then when you stretch out to take the t-shirt, what happens? "Oi, what are you doing?" It killed me. It condemned me. "Oh, I'm caught." Okay? Now, I'm giving you a physical illustration because that's exactly what happens with everyone. Everyone, for the first... the first time everyone, every teenager, whoever drank, whoever took drugs, whoever committed immorality, or any adult, think back, there was always one time you knew in your heart it was wrong, but it deceived you. You know why? That's a rebellious, sinful nature. And at the end, you get condemned by it. That's what the Bible says. That's actually what the Bible says. And the commandment which was ordained to life, verse 10, I found to be unto death, verse 11, for sin, taking occasion, taking the opportunity by the law of God, deceived me, and through the action, killed me. That's why even as a Christian, we can get into grossest sin, because we do not live in the Holy Spirit of God as we follow Him. We still live in the flesh. And we'll talk about that as we go along, okay? Okay, and then through the decision, okay, it deceives us, it kills me, it actually condemns me, it drives me further and further away of God. That's why Christians in sin don't want to come to church. That's why Christians in sin don't read their Bibles, because the law of God constantly convicts us, but because we have been living in sin and in the flesh, we don't want the Word of God to tell us anything, because it makes us uncomfortable, okay? So the summary of the law of God in Romans 7:13 was then that which is good, referring to the law of God, made death unto me. In other words, God's law is supposed to be good, right? Is the law of God the one that actually is the one who condemns me? Well, actually, the Bible does say the law of God condemns. It says, God forbid. Don't have the thought that it is God that deliberately kills. It's not. There is actually another influence, which we will talk about, the law of sin. Okay, there's another influence that causes the death. God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Three points as we summarize the law before we move on to the struggle of the Christian. The law was designed by God to reveal the sin already present within us. You go to some cultures of this world, example in Papua New Guinea, I had a pastor who was a missionary there for many years, 7 years, then after he contracted malaria 12 times and he decided, hey, his wife also suffered, so they decided, I think God wants us to go to another place because it's really have a toll on our health, we cannot serve God. God moved them to Perth, and that's where I met him. And he said that in Papua New Guinea, a lot of people may walk around without their clothes, or maybe topless, or for the men, and the ladies wouldn't dress properly as well. And in Papua New Guinea, marry, divorce 20 times is a norm. They exchange wives in Papua New Guinea. That was the type of culture he lived in. Okay? When the missionary went there, he taught them what is right and wrong. Some of them gave it up, realized it was wrong. But you see, before the law came in, everyone was just free to do what he wants. But when a person gets saved, have you ever had this thought that you were doing something, but after you became a Christian, you said, oh, how in the world can I ever do that? You know how you get an understanding? The law of God. God actually shows how sinful the sin is. We can rebel against authority, we can go against our parents, you know, but after you get saved, you say, how in the world can I say that to my mom? Why? The law of God. That helps us to see how sinful sin is. That's what Paul was talking about. And number two, he says, working death in me by that which is good. It reveals that we are in fact condemned by sin. It reveals just how serious sin is. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. The law was designed to cause sin to appear as sin. Therefore, if you say, I know in some cultures or some Christians, oh, you know, Pastor, you know, I know I made a lot of mistakes. No, you don't. You sin. We need to call sin, sin. Because you call it a mistake, it can be corrected. The difference between a mistake and a sin. Are you ready? A mistake you can correct. Sin must be paid for. So don't confuse the two. Sin must be paid for in Jesus Christ. And when we become Christians, sin must be confessed and forsaken. And for the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us again, give us the grace to keep moving forwards. Does that make sense? That's why we need to live in the Spirit. That's why we need to allow God to help us change. And that's why we need to be honest and just open and just confess when God shows us His Word. All right? And so the law is designed to cause sin to appear as sin. The law is a spotlight revealing the evil of a dark heart, like a light revealing all the insects in a dark place. The law therefore forms the legal basis for us to be condemned when we sin. That is God's way of helping us come to a realization of sin. That's why through the preaching of the Bible, we acknowledge that we are sinners, and then we look to God's grace to help us. Say, Lord, I can't do it. You need to help me. And when we submit to that, that's where we grow in Christ. Okay, so that is the law. Any questions about the law? We all need to know that. Okay? Now we look at the struggle of the Christian. And we look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. I think all of us struggle as Christians to do right. Paul, in the book of Romans, expounds. By the way, he's talking to Christians. Okay? In Romans chapter 7, and verse 14 and 15, the basis of the struggle, why we struggle. Can I encourage you by something? How many of you know in your Bible knowledge which year was Paul saved? When did Paul trust Christ as his personal Savior? If you read the book of Acts, you will realize it's probably a few months after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the church started preaching, right? Right? Probably a few months to maybe 1 year or 2 years, okay? I was doing a search on that, and Paul was probably saved A.D., 33 to 36. You know when the book of Romans written? AD 55, thereabouts. 20 years after the great apostle Paul, one of the greatest, most committed, one of the most surrendered Christians you will ever find, wrote about the struggle in his heart with sin. Think about that. If an apostle of God, after 20 years, write to this group of Roman Christians and says, guys, there is a struggle in your heart because there's a struggle in my heart. Paul talks about his struggle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, about the thorn in the flesh, about the fact that God doesn't want him to be proud. Okay, the book of Corinth was also written probably about 15 to 20 years after Paul became a Christian. Okay, so in that situation, the basis of the struggle is this. Paul is talking to Christian, number one, God's law is spiritual. We already discussed that in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, God's law is spiritual, but he also said, but I am carnal. Carnal means fleshly. Soul under sin. The word soul under sin means I'm enslaved by sin. Your sinful nature within you is still corrupted by sin. And Paul actually says, for I'm God's law is spiritual. Remember, when we became Christian, God actually imputes His law into us through the Holy Spirit. But I'm still, and Paul talks about the indwelling sin of the Christian. This is life as a believer in Jesus Christ, because I can see it in the expression of my own life. Paul is just saying this, look, I know God is so holy, His righteousness in His commandments I can see as He fills me. But I can see also what a rotten, corrupted person I am. He's talking about the sinful nature. Firstly, the basis of your struggle. You need to identify that, okay? Number two, we look at the reality of the struggle. In verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now listen to what Paul is saying. That which I want to do, which I know is right according to the law of God, I want to do. But then I go and do wrong. And he's saying, when I do wrong, I'm actually saying, actually God's law was actually right in the first place. That's why I'm wrong, okay? Truth number one, the reality is, we consent that the law of God is good. If I know what is wrong and do it, I have to agree that God's law is holy and just as good. Because I know what is wrong. I know what is right and wrong as a Christian. But if I go ahead and do the wrong thing, then I must admit God was right in the first place. Does that make sense? That's what it says here. That's what the Bible actually says. The thing that what is right, I do not do it. But the things I know I should not do, that I do. In Romans chapter 7, verse 17, I know then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this is an interesting one as we go on. In Romans chapter 7, verse 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There is another influence in our life. Now, as I was reading that, we have to be very careful. You know what some people will say? No, Pastor, I didn't do it. It was the law of sin in my life. Last time I used to tell my mom when I do wrong, it was killing me. I said, Mom, you cannot blame me. I tempted la. You know what's trying to do? Give excuse. Remember, there's a law of God. There's a law of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know we not that to whom ye, you yourselves, servants to obey. And it's a daily choice whether you want to walk with God, follow His Spirit, follow His Word, to do right, or follow your flesh to do wrong. Does that make sense? Paul actually says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelt in me. Paul is not saying, oh, I got captured again. No, he's saying, I gave in to my flesh. I'm under the influence of another law. That is what it means. Since I consent the law is good, but I go ahead and do that which is wrong, then it's no more me that does it. In other words, I have surrendered the control of my own life to the law of sin controlling me. I therefore do the sin that I should not do. Do you understand that? You have to understand that, because as a Christian, too many times, sometimes we blame. We blame, oh, it was because of this. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us to realize, actually, there's an indwelling sin that we need to deal with. And Paul is expounding that. There's another influence in our life, okay? Then in verse number 18 says, for I know that in me, in my flesh, notice he says, for I know that in who? Me. That's the acknowledgement. It's me. I know in me, that is in my flesh, as I surrender to it, dwelleth no good thing. Because remember, the law of God says it instigates a rebellious nature. In other words, I have surrendered the control of myself to the law of sin controlling me. As a believer in Christ, I can will to do the right thing. In verse 18, I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, because to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. How many of you say, Pastor, I really want to do right? That's what Paul is saying here. Paul, as one of the eminent Christians in the Christian faith, says, I want to do right, man. But you know, to find the strength, Christians, we've got to come to the place, if you ever want a victorious Christian life, Paul says, I cannot find the strength to do right. I can't find the strength to do right. But how to do the right thing, I know not. Paul acknowledged that there is another influence in his life. And because I can't find the strength to do right, if you look at verse 18, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Okay, let's turn to the book of Galatians, okay? The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it talks about, and verse 19 and 20. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Paul talks about the works of the flesh, which meant adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. So there is the sins of the body, talking about fornications and all that, the sins of idolatry, witchcraft, and then our sins of the spirit, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have told you also in the time past, the day which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul is not telling the Christians that you'll die and go to hell if you do these things, but Paul says, look, That's how you're living. If you're involved in this kind of sins, you're no different from the world. And the reason why you say that is because they are living in the flesh. They're doing the things led by the flesh. They have never surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, or rather they haven't allowed God to control them. Okay? So the Bible actually talks about corrupt flesh will always sin. The flesh is corrupted and therefore it will always lead us to sin. We have to acknowledge that. Some of you who says, Pastor, I always struggle. The reason why, as Christians, we struggle, if you say you're a genuine Christian, is because you have never let the grace and the Holy Spirit of God, you have never submitted yourself, you have made a decision to say, God, you control. We have always been living in the flesh, and the reason why we struggle is because we live in the flesh. And the reason why we don't want to tell people what we are doing sometimes is because the flesh doesn't want to be exposed. But God has already used His law to expose us, and that's why it stirs up the rebellious nature in us to not let anyone know. That's why there's always hiding about sin. That's why children from a young age don't need to be taught how to hide when they've done wrong. You know, even dogs hide. I'm not saying they have a conscience, but even the dog knows that he's not supposed to eat that bone. Or even the dog will hide when he's eaten something he's not supposed to touch. And I'm not trying to say that God gave his nature to dogs. No. I'm just saying the idea, if animals who are not made in the image of God can sense that so-called guilt, what more we who not only have the normal conscience God has given to us, we have the Holy Spirit of God convicting us about sin and the law of God. Corrupt flesh will always lead to sin. And this is the truth in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, as Christians, we need to come to a place of realization. After you became a Christian, yes, praise God. Remember I said, God nailed your sins to the cross. God forgave you. God cleansed you from all unrighteousness. God made you justified just as if you've never sinned. God gives you His Holy Spirit. God gives you eternal life. After in all that condition, God didn't take away your free will. You have to decide, am I going to live for God or live for the flesh? Many Christians, because perhaps of ignorance or because perhaps they are so bound with the flesh, they keep on living their lives as if and gone into grosser sins even as a Christian. So the real reason why we struggle, believers in Christ, is because we have never surrendered to God to obey Him 100% from our hearts. That doesn't mean after that you become perfect, but at least there's a resolve in your heart that starts. And you are saying, God, you have saved me. I'm yours. I made a decision to be yours. You know, sometimes coming forward, putting up your hand to pray, and I say, put up your hand, pray in your heart. That's what I'm referring to. You need to make a decision in your heart that God, from now on, now I understand from your word. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your strength. Thank you. And Lord, I yield myself to you. Because if you don't have to make a decision, it is fruitless for Paul to say, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present yourself. You need to make a decision to tell God, I will follow you, Lord. I will follow the grace. I will follow the light. I will follow the Holy Spirit as you help me. You know, as God presents all this, it's God's grace. And for us to make a decision, say, Lord, I'll cooperate with you. Because God's never going to take away our free will. But He wants us, as we understand His grace, say, God, it is you who will help me. But God, I've decided to follow Jesus. I will do that. Okay? And so, and then in verse 19 and 20, as we look at the passage, it's a repetition of once again that law, for the good that I would do not, that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin, the influence of sin, the control of sin in my life, and my surrender of my flesh to sin, did that. Okay? That's a repetition there. The final one. Then we look at the power behind that struggle, verse 21-23. I'll just read through that because it's very self-explanatory. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know, as a believer in Christ, don't you, when you want to make a decision, think, should I do this or not, huh? I find then a law, okay, that when I would do good, sin is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay, let me just explain. Laws are fixed and given by a supreme leader. That's a definition of a law. It is unchangeable. It is binding upon the people under it. That means the law of God, if you want to live, it binds you. The law of sin, it controls you. The influence cannot be exchanged. It cannot be removed. It's a law. That's why the Bible says, cause it's a law. The law of sin cannot, it is fixed upon everyone who follows it. Okay? It brings about the consequences for its non-compliance. In other words, the law of sin controls you because if, as it controls you, interesting, the law of sin, as it controls you, bring even more consequences. Okay, the Bible actually says the law, the sin is actually pleasure for a season. When you actually sin, like for example, if a child takes a biscuit when he's not supposed to, he will have pleasure for a season. He will enjoy the chocolate chip, he will enjoy the cookies for a while. Until mommy steps in, right? What did you do? I didn't eat. And then all the cookie crumbs are here. I didn't eat. We begin to tell lies. Why? That's the law of sin. So the law, why do we as Christians falter? Because we are still under the bondage of the law. Or rather, we are still under the presence of indwelling sin. We are no longer under the bondage of the law of sin, but it's still in us. And that's what Paul is. He said, I delight in the law after the inward man. Isn't it true? I think everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ will say this, Pastor, actually, I want to do right. Even myself. But why do I do wrong? But in verse 23, I delight in the law after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Christians, are you listening? This is an indication of a saved man. Firstly, there is a delight in God. God, I love you. I want to do right. But I just can't. That's the reality of the Christian life. All of us will have to go through that struggle. Because that's real. That's what Paul says. He says, even as an accomplished apostle, I would say that I want to do right. I delight in the law after the... I know it's right. Remember, I know it's right. Isn't it true? I know it's right. I'm hoping to be a little bit more visual so we can say, I know it's right. I know it's right. But I find another law within me warring against the law of my mind. Warring against it, fighting it. Teenagers, you may experience it. I'm not saying you will. You may experience this. When you're within friends, and one friend, hey, why don't you smoke? In your mind, you say, I know I'm not supposed to smoke. But in your heart, say, I don't want to lose my friends. It's a law of flesh. You need to be identified with this group of people. So what do? Unfortunately, some young people will smoke. Some people will go into drugs. Why? It was against the law of your mind. And that's why the more you feed your mind with the Word of God and allow God to change you, the flesh gets weaker. But when we don't, and we constantly just, you know, Christian, if all you do is what comes naturally, you will always live in the flesh. You will always live in the flesh. And this is what, as a believer, I delight in the law of the spiritual man. But there's another law, the law of my flesh, the law of sin. It battles against the law of my mind, the new nature. Either the battle in the mind is a new nature that God gives to you. All right? Your senses are awakened spiritually now. Whenever we want to do wrong as a Christian, the first thing that happens is that we will think, this is wrong. In smoking, in drugs, in immorality. But what I feel is right. You know, Christians, whenever you have music or people say, just do what you feel. This is what professors will tell you, just do what you think is right. Just do what you feel is right. Okay? There's a very popular song that says, listen to your heart. You know where? You know who wrote that song? The devil. Because the devil knows if you follow your heart, you go straight to hell. As a Christian, you follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if that's, and you follow your heart, you will get into sin. But God gives you the new nature. He gives you His grace and His Holy Spirit for us to depend on. All right? So then the law of sin wages war against the law of your mind and new nature, and the law of sin brings the nature under its captivity. Can I say this? If you will not listen to the law of God, through God helping you, and then the law of sin, and you keep just pandering to what you selfishly want, or, you know, it brings you on. That's why Christians can get trapped by sin too. Christians can get trapped by sin too. Let's look at, thank God Paul didn't stop there. He tells us how to have victory. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, 25, you know, at the end of the whole thing, what did Paul say? He said, well, okay, no choice. No, he says, so wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know how you can have victory over your struggle? There must be a feeling of utter sinfulness. You need to realize, God, I cannot help myself. Lord, I realize how rebellious I am. Every time my mom tells me to do something, every time my dad tells me to do something, every time I hear the word of God, I just want to fold my hand and say, no way I'm going to do that. Oh God, forgive me for the rebellious nature. We need to come to a place and say, Lord, I'm just utterly sinful. There's no way I can do this. But you know what? I haven't finished yet. In verse 25, the Bible says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only way for victory is only in Christ. You know, in Christ is a big word. In Christ means when we get saved, we are renewed by His Holy Spirit. We are given the grace of God. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome as we depend on Him on a daily basis. And some of you may go through, Brother Johnny, I struggle with sin all the time. You need to make a decision in your mind to surrender to the Spirit of life. I'm going to talk, I was going to stop actually at the flesh, but I said, no, I need to tell you that we can have victory. The victory is in Jesus Christ. The victory is in the finished work of Christ. You see, God didn't just save you from sin. He saved you from the power and control of sin. And if you will allow Him to let God, and if you allow God's grace and His strength and His word to govern your minds and hearts, then we will have victory. You know, even for the most accomplished Christian or many years as a Christian, I told you, even you may be a Christian for 10, 15 years, you will have a struggle still. Why? You will fight with this man, this flesh, to the day you die. That's why Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I die daily. I need to crucify my flesh on a regular basis. And not everyone does that. We all fail. But God gives us His grace once again by saying, if you will confess your sin, then I'm going to forgive you and set everything straight. Basically, God is going to press the reset button on your life, give you a clean slate. Let's move on as a Christian. That's God's grace. But as we learn on a daily basis to follow what God says and what His Spirit tells us, God, we can have the victory. Okay? That's why Romans chapter 6, verse 16, we'll finish with this last verse, Romans 6:16 says this, don't you know we not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. The Holy Spirit of God is prompting us, I believe, we have the law of God. If you're a Christian, you have the law of God in your life. God tells you what is wrong, right and wrong. The law of God is not the Mosaic law. The law of God is God's law, God's holiness that says this is right and this is wrong. Disobedience to parents is wrong. Okay? And if we don't do it, we're going to fall into sin because then there's a law of sin. There's another law. Okay? So as a believer in Christ, when I trust Christ, His grace, His Holy Spirit is in us as we learn to walk with Him, but there's still the presence of the law of God that tells us what is right. The law of God doesn't help us to do right. It just tells us what is right. Okay? The law of sin, all the law of sin wants is to get us to do wrong. So as a person, we need to submit to two, to the law of God. But I can't submit to the law of God because I have no strength. The law of sin is so strong, it always controls me. Oh no, poor old wretched man that I am, how am I supposed to get out of this? That's why in 25 says, but I thank God. Do you realize next week, I want us to at least next, as we go and meditate on this, whether you, some of you who say you're struggling in sin or whatever, do you ever come to a place and say, God, I want to get rid of this. By the way, you can't get rid of the sinful nature. Okay? You can't get rid of it. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, which I'll talk on next week, the Lord Jesus Christ, through His death, gave us another law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law that Christ, when He died on the cross, He saved us. And that's why I say, you cannot fight sin. I have overcome sin. Tell you what, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit that you can depend on a daily basis. Can I say this? If you are struggling Christians, you can have a life of daily victory. But you need to read. I'd like you to read ahead, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. I'll be preaching on a lot more next week of how as a Christian, God has given us the victory in Christ. If every believer in Christ would just learn to submit and walk and let God's Holy Spirit. But you know what? You need to surrender the control of your life, your thoughts, your actions over to the life, that the Holy Spirit that God gives us. It means a constant daily walk with the Holy Spirit of God. He may be an invisible person, but He's in us. The reality of the Holy Spirit. Some of you struggle. The real reason why you struggle is because perhaps you never realize that actually there's a Holy Spirit that's helping you. He's with you anyway. He's with you everywhere. You can ask Him to help you, all right? All right? So there are three laws. Every Christian, the law of God tells us what is wrong. It is good for us if we follow, but we have no strength to follow. Why? Because we're all under the law of sin. The law of sin deceives us and gets us to sin. But God introduced a third law, which we'll talk about next week. But I'd like us to read Romans 7, 24, 25, and then Romans 8, verse 1 to 6, in preparation for next week. And I pray that God will open our eyes to the fact that we do have the Holy Spirit of God that is present to help us on a daily basis, but we do need to yield and submit to Him. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the victory in Christ we're going to have, which is a song we are going to sing, Victory in Jesus. Father, thank You. Yes, Lord, we know, and sometimes as a believer in Christ, Lord, we can just say, Lord, there's nothing absolutely that we can do that is right. Because the law of God condemns us. Even though it's just, it's set apart, it is good for me. But God, as Paul, we will cry, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from the body? Who will deliver us from the body of this death? And then, Lord, thank You that the Apostle Paul cried out, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, thank You for the third law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, that we will take this to heart. If eyes closed, heads bowed, Christian, if someone say, Pastor, pray for me, I'm struggling. And now I understand why I struggle. And I just ask you to do this in order to prepare. I'd like you to be reading Romans chapter 7, 24, 25, Romans 8, verse 1 to 6. And say, Pastor, now I understand that I can have victory in Christ as I learn to yield to Your Holy Spirit. Is there someone who said, Pastor, pray for me as I make this decision by Your grace, by God's grace, to have victory in my life? Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Okay, is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Anyone else? Amen, that hand too. Anyone else? To be in submission, yes, amen, that hand too, amen. Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank You for the four brethren put up their hands. I pray that, Lord, You will help them to come to the place of complete submission, Lord, to the Holy Spirit of God. Because it is your way of helping us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit of God. To avail us to be open, to open ourselves, Lord, to your grace and the things that you want to help us to grow. Father, I pray that every one of us, Lord, will understand this to the fullest extent. Lord, I pray for a victorious church. We pray for a victorious individuals. We pray for victorious Christians who will allow the law of God to convict them, who will allow the Holy Spirit of God into their lives and be controlled by on a daily basis, that their lives may reflect, Father, a genuine walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we sing the closing hymn. Pray that you will speak to our hearts through the song in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.
To save a wretch like me, I heard about his groaning, of his principal atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He franched me to victory. We lead the last stanza. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And from day I'll sing, I'm there, the song of victory. You can know the words, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory, believe the cleansing blood. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the victory we can have in Christ. And I pray every believer here will realize they don't have to live in defeat, because you have given us your power, you have given us your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we will live by your grace. We will live and submit ourselves, Father, consciously, on a daily basis, to the victory you have given to us. Thank you for what you're going to bless the lunch fellowship. I pray for the believers who have put up their hands as they, well, struggles. Help them to surrender, Lord, the struggle at the cross. Help them to realize they don't have to struggle, but it's a struggle to surrender on a daily basis to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Help us not to live in the flesh, not to live by the law of sin, to live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And grant us, Lord, spiritual wisdom, how we can apply that on a daily basis. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.